This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Will Time and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Will and Jake preview Clash of Champions 2016, Raw's first pay-per-view with Seth Rollins versus Universal Champion Kevin Owens in the main event. Want coverage of this show on Sunday night? Head to ProWrestling.net. Jason Powell will be covering the show live. And if you want an exclusive audio review of the show with Jason Powell and Jake Barnett, become a ProWrestling.net member. You can get their audio review of the show the night after, like, right after the show. Like, the show ends, then they record it, then Jason posts it, then Jason gets to watch football. So you know it's going to get done fast. Check that out at ProWrestling.net membership. It starts at $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or if you just want to try us out for a month and see what we've got, check it out for $7.50 a month. We trust that you will enjoy it. And now, here's our preview of Clash of Champions. So, Jake, I think the last time we talked that people were able to listen to it was a pay-per-view preview, so why don't we just preview another one, since it's been a little while? Clash of Champions is happening on Sunday night, and how excited are you, 2 weeks after the pretty good Backlash pay-per-view, to settle in for another pay-per-view?
Not as excited as I hoped I would be. Yeah. You know, I guess there's a few matches on this card that I am genuinely interested in seeing. I think the women's triple threat should be fun. I think TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick will be a good match. I'm sort of conflicted about Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. I guess I'm excited to see the match, but I don't want to see either of them lose at this point. And the best of seven with Cesaro and Sheamus. I'm excited to see them finish that up and move on, because I think it's taken way too long.
Best of seven series just tend to take a really long time. Like, it's kind of absurd. You're like, oh, this is going to be fun. Some great wrestling. Oh my God, we're doing this seven times. And let's start with that. Who do you think ends up winning the best of seven series?
My pick's got to be Cesaro. I think they set him up, you know, exactly as you would expect. They had Sheamus go on that early winning streak, and now Cesaro's turned things around. I was a little thrown by the fact that they had him cheat to win that one match, because it didn't seem to jive with his character at all. But I think they set him up to have the momentum going into this final, and I think they have plans for him and hoping to, you know, to rehabilitate his character with this best of seven series. So I'm picking him to win, but I don't know if they've accomplished their goal. He hasn't really matured or changed much as a character in the process here.
And that's the weird thing for me, is that he hasn't changed. He hasn't grown. He hasn't had to figure anything out other than, hey, sometimes I can cheat and that's fun. And for that reason, I kind of want to say Sheamus, but I don't think you have Kevin Owens drop the title here. So Sheamus versus Kevin Owens doesn't sound as fun as Cesaro versus Kevin Owens, as I'm guessing a Raw main event in a week or two. Like, I don't think this goes, I don't think you're going to see this main event Hell in a Cell or anything, which is the next Raw pay-per-view after this one. So let's talk about the main event of this show. You brought up best of seven, so I skipped to it, but let's talk about the main event. Kevin Owens against the newly babyface, I guess, or at least jumps off of tall things, Seth Rollins. Who do you think walks out of this champion? How do you think this match even ends?
You know, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised to see Triple H get involved again. I mean, he sort of disappeared from television, and we never got to really understand his motives in the process of crowning Kevin Owens champion. I would think that we're going to see some shenanigans here. I mean, it's going to involve Triple H. It may involve Stephanie McMahon. Seth Rollins especially has been way too intertwined with Stephanie on television for them not to play a factor. So I'm going to pick Kevin Owens to retain, but I'm guessing it's going to be through some shenanigans of some sort or another.
I don't even know that I don't think this match has a conclusive finish. Partially, I think Owens versus Rollins is a pretty decent match to go to Hell in a Cell with. And you can have Triple H run in which causes Mick Foley to put Owens and Rollins inside of a cell. You can have Triple H, Roman Reigns, and Rusev, honestly, all get involved here. Have it all make sense. And then you have these five guys brawling in the ring to close out the show, and maybe you give Seth Rollins another big moment, like they tried to do on Raw. You give him another Seth stands tall moment where he's the good guy and he's going to make the Authority's life a living hell. I think that's fun. I think it's a fine way to end it, and WWE doesn't go to non-finishes in their main events all that often, so I would be fine seeing it here.
Yeah, a non-finish wouldn't bother me. I may have them throw out the match after Triple H's interference and save the the big comeuppance for Triple H and Stephanie for Raw, because I think that would probably end up having a bigger audience. But I can definitely see them, going down that path where they're finally committing to doing what they should have done when Seth Rollins returned, which was have him come back as a babyface.
Yeah. And that just seems to be the natural thing. Now, Finn Balor got hurt. They realized, okay, well, we're trying to do so much with Rollins' miscasts, and well, we've got Kevin Owens that we're underutilizing. Cool, let's move some parts around. And lucky for Raw, its roster has the depth that you need to do that. Let's talk about Rusev and Roman Reigns. I see this as Rusev somehow retaining, just because I don't see Roman as a United States Championship kind of guy. But at the same time, it's at the point in the feud where doesn't Roman have to win? I mean, I know people complain about Roman Reigns winning a lot, but Roman Reigns sure does lose a lot these days. I kind of think it's time for Roman to win one here. So I'm really torn, and I think I'm going to go with Roman Reigns as my pick.
Yeah, I'm equally torn. I just don't really understand what they're trying to do with Rusev. He's trying to be, the monster that he once was in some sense. And then, on the other hand, he's way too invested in protecting, Lana's honor and stuff like that. It's a confusing character because they have him, pulled in a couple of different directions. And my guess is they have Reigns go over here and win the United States Championship. And then, Rusev can either break away, or he might get one rematch out of the deal or something, but he needs to go on another character odyssey to kind of reposition himself and figure out exactly who he is. Cause I think he's gotten lost a little bit since becoming the United States champion. They really haven't capitalized on, him being a champ, and it's been somewhat of a mess, and it took Roman Reigns feuding with him to sort of get him back on track. But I don't think it's worked to a large degree. So I'm going to pick Reigns. I think there's some heels on the roster that would be a good fit for a feud with him to test him. And then they can, begin the process of rebuilding him, who need, getting him back in the fans' good graces, or perhaps at some point, even giving him an attitude similar to what they did with the Usos, which is what I think they should have done with him a long time ago. And then that would be a huge improvement for him as well.
Yeah, I think moving on from the Bulgarian brute to being, for lack of a better way, almost an MVP-esque character, or like just I'm a badass athlete who hurts people type of character, who he's not the like barbaric savage. He's cultured, because they kind of have tried to do that with some of the comedy with Lana, show like how cultured they are. Lana is a princess, he's a prince type of thing. I think that could be fun if done seriously, but I don't think it would be fun if they're trying to be fun in a weird way. Let's move on to Sami Zayn and Chris Jericho, a match I would have been so excited about in 2010. I think Jericho's mic work has been pretty good recently. I haven't been as high on it as some others. I know Jason especially is really enthusiastic about what Jericho's done on the mic in recent months. I think it's been good. Sami Zayn is a really fun character to me. This seems like, oh, well, Jericho's left behind because we moved Owens into this role. And Sami's left behind because we haven't figured out a story for him after his feud with Kevin Owens. You guys want to fight or something? That's how this feels to me, but at the same time, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I think Jericho's found some success recently on the microphone, and I think his relationship with Kevin Owens was a decent catalyst for that. They definitely got those two in a position where, you know, they had great chemistry, and then, you know, that chemistry obviously led them to, you know, taking a closer look at Owens as somebody they wanted to put in the main event. And now that he's left behind, you know, Jericho, you know, I think it was logical to put him and Zayn together, because they can have good matches, and I think they will, and they can also, you know, deliver on the microphone together. I think, you know, their back and forths have, you know, thus far been very good, and I think the crowd is responding well to Zayn going after Jericho, who has managed to, I mean, just think of all the ridiculous things that Jericho has gotten over on the microphone in the last couple of months. It's kind of insane to think about, but I think they've talked themselves into at least a couple of matches here, which is kind of amazing given the short time they've had to build this up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty okay match. Let's talk about Charlotte defending the Women's Championship against Sasha Banks and Bayley. This women's division is an absolute mess. I could go on for an entire episode about the hot garbage this women's division is presenting right now, but I'll just leave it at they are burning through matches with these top three women they have on Raw so fast that by December, they're going to be going, well, we need new women on the roster if we're going to do anything for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, the odd thing is, I saw you know, Dave Meltzer reported that they kind of view this triple threat as a way to set up a babyface turn for the woman that they've been calling Miss Piggy on television. You know, it's not so much about Sasha and Bayley as it is about setting up Charlotte for a feud with Dana Brooke, which is insane to me considering how popular Sasha and Bayley are. But
yeah, and I guess that's my problem in it. Sorry, I'm totally interrupting you for a second.
That's okay. Go ahead.
My problem here right now is they seem to be building instead of telling a story where Sasha gets to be the main character, Sasha is a secondary or a tertiary character. The same goes for Bayley. Instead of giving them their own stories, WWE is going, hey, look, women, and ending the conversation there. And to me, it just produces garbage, like this story for this match. And I'm hopeful that they get out of that habit, but like you said, that they see Sasha and Bayley as accessories here when Sasha and Bayley should be the stars of their own story and have their own stories being told, and WWE is not doing that.
No, and I think, you know, just look at what they're doing on SmackDown as a model. Think they you know, they're having varying degrees of success with it on SmackDown. I mean, some of the feuds are hotter than others, obviously, but, you know, they do have stories for individual characters. And even though they're involved in tag matches occasionally on television, you know who's feuding with who and who has conflict with who. And they manage to, you know, within a couple of months, make all six women on a very shorthanded roster feel like they all matter. And I think they've done an extremely poor job of doing that on Raw, where it's become, you know, very focused on Charlotte, and you know, they have the Dana Brooke thing that they have going on, which, I mean, it feels way too similar to what they did with Charlotte and Becky Lynch just, you know, 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And they're using very popular characters like Sasha and Bayley as you know, as sideshow attractions to what, you know, feels like a story that probably doesn't really have much of a future, because we've heard Dana Brooke on the microphone, and she doesn't seem very well suited to being a babyface. So I'm not optimistic to, you know, to where this is going in the near future. I think they've dropped the ball with a very promising roster on the Raw women's side.
Yeah, it's really sad to look at this roster and look at, oh, cool, Bayley got added and she's great, but this is not good storytelling by any definition of good storytelling. And I think Charlotte wins here, but I don't know. And I think worst of all, I don't care. I want to care. Let's move on to the New Day against Anderson and Gallows. They seem to be trying to make Anderson and Gallows tougher, but has it worked? Did they do anything to do it? Like, I don't know. The tag division on Raw, it's another circumstance of I see all these teams and I see these guys, and I don't care. They're doing the women's division the same way that they do the tag division, and honestly, like they did the cruiserweight division on Monday night, which is a deficiency of Raw. Each division gets one segment on the show, so the only story seems to involve the champions.
Yeah, there isn't a very good flow on Raw, and I'm not sure why they can't seem to get that down. Like they don't transition well between, you know, what's going on in the ring and what's going on backstage, because they dedicate, and I guess the major flaw, I think, in my opinion, is that they dedicate so much time to Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon.
Yes.
That it just consumes, you know, minutes that could be given to secondary feuds and other divisions on the show. And it's to the detriment of a lot of these acts, you know, like where, you know, like where is the time that we should have seen for, you know, the secondary women's feud, or where's the time we should have seen for, you know, I guess we do see, you know, the shining stars on Raw every week, but that's just been a disaster. And why couldn't we get two singles matches from the cruiserweight division on Monday? And I mean, there's a laundry list of things, but I don't think they've been successful in making Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson anything but goofs. And I don't know if that's just a reflection of the fact that they feel like the New Day is their best chance at comedy on the show. And they have to, you know, sort of reply to that with something from the people they're feuding with. I don't know exactly, you know, what their motivation is for the goofy doctor segments in the old day and stuff like that, that just hasn't worked. But they need to treat Gallows and Anderson like a serious team and an actual counterweight to what the New Day are doing. And maybe that'll be something that happens after Sunday. But I'm going to pick Gallows and Anderson to win, just because I think they do need a change in the tag division. But I'm not optimistic in that, or confident, I should say, in that pick at all.
I guess I'll go with you, since they've pretty much done everything they could do with New Day as champions, and New Day getting angry and serious and chasing Anderson and Gallows could be a fun story. I have no confidence in that pick, though. I lack a lot of confidence. Jake, in one word or less, who do you think wins the Alicia Fox versus Nia Jax pre-show match?
Jax. That's it.
Yeah. Samesies.
I mean, Alicia Fox has been a non-factor on television for way too long. It's and Nia Jax is a monster. So they have to go with a 5-10 second match, possibly. I have no idea.
I kind of hope so. Nia Jax, you may not know this, but she's not like most girls. That's my whole commentary on this match. And finally, for the Cruiserweight Championship, TJ Perkins, International Man of Mystery, who did not appear on Raw for some ungodly reason, against Brian Kendrick, who might be a heel, despite the fact that he has a really compelling story that they did in the Cruiserweight Classic and kind of continued on Raw. I'm not going to say it's too soon for a championship match, but if I were WWE, I might have just said, we're going to do a rematch of the Cruiserweight Classic final, because there's at least a little more story behind that than what we have with TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick on 6 days' notice, with one of them never appearing on WWE TV before.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they went with Kendrick, other than I guess there was some question as to whether Cedric and Grand Metalik had some other dates they had to fulfill before, you know, they could come full time. So maybe this is just a few they decided on because of availability. I'm not exactly sure, but I was surprised to see Kendrick kind of, I guess they did sort of hint at him being a heel, because he talked about, you know, how WWE had let him go in 2009, and he thought that it was the end of his career, and so did they. And they kind of projected a little bit of desperation there, where, you know, he was willing to do anything to maintain a position in this division. And so you could kind of find heel motivation there, but I don't know for sure. It certainly wasn't in line with the redemption story they were telling on the Cruiserweight Classic, but I'm not sure if they're going to stick with anything they did there.
Yeah, and additionally, I guess, Jason made a good point that these are athletes. These are guys trying to win titles. These are guys fighting for those titles, not rescue dogs. And on Monday night, they were definitely presented like every one of them has this sad story, and oh, but they're so inspiring, and now they're here. Look, cruiserweights. And it was far too reminiscent of TNA's X Division that says, look, it's X Division action, and doesn't say, look, it's top star Trevor Lee against top star Andrew Everett. It just says, X Division, woo, or something, and I am already worried that that's what the Cruiserweight Division is going to be, and that's what WWE wants it to be, and yeah, I the action in this match should be pretty good. I think it's going to be fun, and I see TJ Perkins winning it and hopefully impressing in his WWE main roster debut.
Yeah, I don't see it going any other way. I mean, I do understand, you know, the point about rescue dogs. I think Mick Foley sort of undermined the whole thing by talking so much.
And by reading off of cue cards. I'm sorry. Yeah. On WWE TV, you never see someone read off of cue cards. Ring announcers don't do it. No one does it. It made it look like general manager Mick Foley doesn't give a cuss about these dudes. And it, no, oh, whatever. It's a Grand Metalik? Grand Metalik? You guys will figure it out.
Yeah, he looked poorly researched, which was the worst part about it. Like, supposedly he signed these guys, right? And you had to know they were coming in. So, like, to have him out there, like, you know, here's the bio that was handed to me backstage. You know, it was poorly executed. I agree. It made everybody involved look subpar, which was just a shame.
Yeah. Well, Jake, this should be a fun show. As I talk about it more, I'm like, oh, Perkins and Kendrick is going to be good. Cesaro and Sheamus will be good. Rusev and Reigns should be all right. Zayn and Jericho should be good. Main event should be really good and probably have a pretty fun ending. Women's triple threat might be good. You know, there's enough on this show that I think it's going to be fun to watch on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you can put out of your mind all of the surrounding storylines, this will be a very good wrestling show. Like, they've definitely put together some matches that will be highly entertaining. So if you're a network subscriber, I think it'd be worth your time. I mean, if you're one of those people that requires excellent storytelling to enjoy wrestling, then you're probably not going to be all that enthused about it.
It does reinforce a point I've made often, that the best way to watch WWE programming is just to watch the monthly specials on the network. Just watch the network specials. Don't catch Raw or SmackDown, and you're probably going to be caught up and see most of the best stuff. And I think this is one of those things. You might enjoy this more if you haven't been watching Raw. And with that, Jake, I'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!